Good evening to each of you. It's a blessing to be here with you this evening and to worship God together. I also bring you greetings from the Susquehanna Valley congregation. And if you ever get down that way, stop in. We enjoy visitors. It's a blessing. Just think about the topic tonight, and we think about building brotherhood. It's such a good introduction to the Galatians was such a good introduction to the topic of this evening, because that is so true. What you look for, you will find. And it doesn't matter what you're looking for, but we kind of have this mental picture of what I want in life. And eventually, I end up there. It might start out with something you're dissatisfied with, and you want something different, and you want something better. But what we have our sights set on is what we end up with. And so it's very crucial tonight that we have our sights set on the right thing. We're going to end up wrong in my life. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Building brotherhood. Now, building brotherhood tonight, okay, they take the meaning of brotherhood and has the meaning of feelings of fellowship, support, and understanding between people. In other words, people that are driving for the same cause. A group of organized people who have the same interest, jobs, etc. So it's a group of people that are striving forward together to a common cause. That's a brotherhood. Now, you can build brotherhood in many different ways. But building biblical brotherhood is what we'd like to look at tonight, and that's what we'd like to think about. Building a biblical brotherhood. Something that is going to help us in our journey. God did not intend for any one man to travel by himself. He did not intend for any one person to walk the Christian life by himself. But rather, he says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst." And while the Christian life is a personal walk with you and God, it's also a walk with the brotherhood of Christ. We're going to look at a number of things this evening that build brotherhood, a number of things that help us, that need to be a part of us to establish a biblical brotherhood. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul. Paul's charge to Timothy here, 2 Timothy 4. And I'm just going to read the first, no, I'm in 1 Timothy. That's why it didn't make sense. There we go. I'm going to read, starting at verse 1, read the first 10 verses. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. This was Paul's charge to Timothy here. But I like to think about Paul had a concept of brotherhood. He had a concept of, he's saying, of those, the help of other people. And so many times, there's a huge movement in our culture today that the work of God is about me and God in my life. I had a conversation with a man that his interpretation of finding the will of God was I find the will of God between me and God. And you really don't have any right to help me if the Bible doesn't specifically say thou shalt not, then you can't tell me what to do. And that tonight will destroy brotherhood faster than, I mean, every man's on his own. Well, we cannot just stray from the Bible and start just making laws and rules, and we need to be careful with that. But the brotherhood is about, it's about me and you finding our way with God and the Bible. It's about together deciding how we are going to apply Bible principle. One of the first ways I have to build brotherhood is love. Very practical side of building brotherhood. Love. In 1 John chapter 3, I'm just going to flip back here. John has a lot to say about brotherhood. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And also jump over in chapter 4, verse 19, says, we love him because he first loved us. Love. Love is such an important, there's another passage that says, men shall know that you are my disciples because you love one another. Love. The kingdom of God is built on love. Without love this evening, we would be doomed for the pit of hell. Without love, there would be no mercy, there would be no kindness, nothing. We would be doomed. In Colossians chapter 3, we have another passage that talks about love. Colossians chapter 3, let's break in at verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called. Now turn with me to Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You can keep your finger in there. We'll be back there. This chapter describes what true love is and what true love should be and what will not be in true love. And it says, he goes on to explain, he says, you know, all the great things one can do and all the, you know, he can be so great and you can do much. He says, it doesn't matter if you do all that. It doesn't matter. He says, charity suffereth long. He says, though I bestow all my goods to the poor, verse 3, good to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. But you know, in life, I struggle. All of us are human enough to have problems with each other sometimes, right? We all struggle sometimes because of the idiosyncrasies of our brothers and sisters. A lack of love blinds us to the reality of our own fault. Get that? A lack of love blinds us to the reality of our fault. In other words, when my lack of love for my brothers and sisters becomes strong in my life, I forget about who I am and what I've been saved from and my faults. I begin to look at that other person and begin to, and it goes downhill from there, a lack of love. Then he goes on to say what love is. He says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. I lack love many times. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly. No, verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Charity never faileth. And the thought of true love. When I get a picture of what Christ's love has done for me in my life, what I've been cleansed from, I can then love my brothers and sisters in spite of their faults and in spite of their failures. You don't have Christ loved the sinner, but he hated the sin. And we need to do the same. Love needs to reach beyond our brothers and sisters. It needs to be extended to those outside our church. When a lack of love is in the benches, there is a voice that goes out from the brotherhood that speaks to the world. And I think all through Scripture, Christ puts a high priority on love. He says, you know, if there's no love, you're not my disciples. And when there is a lack of love, it destroys the very foundation of brotherhood. Love needs to be as the, you know, in a building, you have a foundation. And without a proper foundation under anything, you're asking for wreckage. My dad had bought a house, and there was an addition on the back of this house, and it wasn't that big. It was maybe 20 by 16 or something. And, you know, we were going to fix this addition up, and I got to looking at it. This thing sat right down against the door. You couldn't see what was there. So I dug out, and there was no foundation under it. There was nothing. It was sitting on wood blocks. And the reason we were looking at this is because the roof was leaking. Where it joined up at the house, it had a one-slope roof, and where it joined up at the house, it overfrosted and picking up and down, it moved the shingles enough to make it leak. We had a problem on our hands. So we dug it out, and we put a foundation under it. You know, in our spiritual lives, we can see that. We can see that. We know that. I mean, that's self-explanatory, right? But, you know, we look at our Christian lives, and sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't connect the dots that, you know, without it, we've got problems. There's issues. Back in Colossians, he talks about a lot more things there in Colossians chapter 3. He talks about verse 13, he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not something that you decide one day that, you know, I'll forgive. It's more than a choice, it's a lifestyle. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. Forgiveness is commanded. It's not an option to be a disciple. Forgiveness is not an option to be a disciple of Christ. It needs to be. But we get caught up in this thing of forgiveness, that if I forgive, then I'm somehow giving them license for the misdemeanors they made. I'm somehow giving them permission or giving them a okay for what they've done. We can forgive somebody without trusting them. Forgiveness and trust. Trust needs to be earned. Trust is something that, you know, in a brotherhood, you know, we all go to church together. We know each other well, and yet we don't. And you know, something comes out about someone, and trust is like, it's gone. I always like to think about trust as a tree. And you take a huge tree, and the size, you know, been there for 120 years. And this tree is huge. And they say that the roots under the ground are as big as the roots, as big as the tree above the ground, okay? And when you cut that tree down, the stump is there to rot. It's done. You're never going to get a tree in your lifetime that size, for starters. And you can plant a new tree, and you can start the process of trust all over again, which needs to happen. But you know, it's still there. And the rotting stump is still there. And so, while we need to forgive, trust needs to be earned. From my perspective, if I fail my brothers and sisters, trust needs to be earned. I need to recognize that I'm not going to be trusted because I've destroyed it. We get this concept that I'm owed to be trusted again. Forgiveness. Forbearance. He says in verse 13, forbearing one another. Heard someone say already, he said, forbearance is something that's uncomfortable. It's something that don't really feel good. It's not something that just brings a lot of happiness to mind, but it's forbearance. It's forbearing with someone's faults. Maybe they're not some sin. Maybe it's just something you don't like about that person. It's forbearance. You don't have to like everything about everybody you meet. No, you can think differently than other people. But forbearance. Just because you're a brotherhood doesn't say you have to look at everything precisely to the letter of the law the same. But you need to find your way together. Backing up to verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. And all those words, well, they're different. There's a lot of the same strain running through those words. But looking for ways to build each other. But to build each other up. When I thought about selfishness and my own way and the way I look at things and the way I think other people ought to look at things, my mind went to selfish Lot and Abraham back in Genesis when, you know, there's nothing quicker that will destroy a brotherhood when I look at myself and what I can gain. I think it was President Abraham Lincoln, I didn't write it down, I should have, said this comment. He said, don't look at, if I can pull it here, don't look at what your country can do for you, but rather what you can do for your country. Don't look at what your church can do for you, but look at what you can do for your church. There is a tremendous, in church life and brotherhood, when there's this brother kind of going this way and this brother pulling this way and that person pulling that way, it's a tremendous strain upon, you know, there's nothing more draining than a person that just simply continually has interest beyond the Bible to me than someone that's interested in God. Someone that's interested in God, interested in brotherhood, interested in church, willing to support, willing to make an effort beyond himself, willing to give. There's an encouragement that goes out from those people that build brotherhood. There's an encouragement. Whether you know it or not, as a person, if you are doing that, you are encouraging people beside you to hang in there and to keep going. And that's what Christ's kingdom is about. It's about people, you know, really, do people want what you have? Or do the people in these houses beside the church, they're like, I don't want anything to do with that church house over there. I don't want anything to do with the people in it. You know, there's a witness that goes out from this brotherhood here that says something to those people out there. And they're either going to want it or they don't want it. And you're still going to find people that don't want it. But does it look appealing to them? Also, on honesty, turn to Luke chapter 19. We have the story of Zacchaeus here. And very familiar story. And we have a man who was a tax collector that was hated of a lot of people. He was a man who... These tax collectors, they worked for the Roman government, and they collected taxes. And many times they were cheaters, they were traitors, they would collect extra taxes, they were rich men, they were... there's a comment that jumped out to me here in this little story, and that is down in verse 9. It says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, and for the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. I love Zacchaeus' willingness to open up his life, to say, I was wrong, and I want to make it right. I want to make it right. I want to go to all extent, and I wish we had more conversation of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Maybe this is all the conversation they had, but I wish we had a little more picture, a little more window of the conversation there before Zacchaeus opened up and said, well, I'm going to make all this right. But we live in a human body, and we live in a fallen world, and we're going to fail. We're going to falter. And we're not all to ourselves. We're brotherhood. We're biblical brotherhood. And to be open, to be honest with our brothers and sisters is such an important role in building brotherhood. You know, when you are open about your problems, you encourage others to be open about their problems. When we each open our life, when we each open ourselves up to the criticism of others, to the help of others, we can find our way. And we encourage other people to do the same. Also back, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." Let's just back up there and read verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he doesn't say, you know, fruitful in physical things, but spiritual things. He says in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if these things be in you and abound in you, ye will not be unfruitful. You will be strengthened. You will grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, these things are part of the kingdom of God and building brotherhood. It says to knowledge, temperance. Can we tell ourselves no tonight? Can we tell ourselves no? Patience. You know, sometimes in our life, we find it hard to be patient. We find it hard to simply stop and let God work in our lives and in the lives of others. Patience. But then he goes on to say in verse 10, he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Give diligence. I get the picture of a man who is hard after God. Comes back to that thought of finding what we're seeking. And if we seek God with our whole heart, if we seek God and his word with our life, we're going to find him. We're going to find him. And as a brotherhood, as a group, if we seek God, we're going to find him. He's going to be real to you. He's going to show himself to you. You know, it's when I can give up of myself, and allow the encouragement of the people around me to help my spiritual life, that I can go beyond myself. It's known that any partnership in a business will go far beyond any LLC or any other part. A partnership, a 50-50 partnership where two are willing to give of themselves, totally. I heard that from an accountant. He said they will go far beyond any other business. Are we willing to give of ourselves totally to Christ's kingdom so that Christ's kingdom can grow? Because if I give of my life for Christ, I am growing the kingdom of God. But if I take of my life from the kingdom of God, then I am taking not only of myself, but of my brothers and sisters. Back to the thing of lying. I'd like to look at a couple things that destroy brotherhood. Thinking about things that will tear down. And, you know, we talked about honesty. And someone who is dishonest will destroy brotherhood. Will destroy brotherhood. God hates a lying tongue. He talks about that in Proverbs. Seven things does the Lord hate. God hates a lying tongue. He detests lying. All right, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Says this, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envyings and all evil speakings," gossip tonight destroys brotherhood. What am I willing to say about my brothers and sisters? Is it the things that Ephesians says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you? Gossip and slander and evil communication has destroyed a lot of people. It has destroyed a lot of churches. It has destroyed nations. It has destroyed relationships for years. And it will continue to do so. What I say, do I realize that what I say has an impact on those who follow me? Do I think about that? We need to think about that. Is what I'm saying true about somebody? Or am I surmising? You know, that alone has destroyed a lot of people. Do I know? Do I have facts? You know, some people run on facts a lot more than other people. And some people struggle with facts. You know, they tend to run on their feelings a little more. But it's easy to, it's like my brother once told me, he said he was in the office for a construction company for many years. And he told me, he said, people will say on email and texts and things like that that they'll never say to your face. And he had this thing that if he got an email, any kind of nasty email, he would instantly call them. He would just get the phone and give them a call and talk to them about it. And he said, 9 chances out of 10, the thing would disappear. They wouldn't have much to say. And after that, it was gone. Like, they left it lay. And in the brotherhood, in the church, the same thing happens. The same thing happens. You know, we're scared to talk to the person, but we're going to tell 10 other people about that person. And maybe even, well, we think this and we thought that. Maybe it isn't true. Maybe you have facts for what you're saying. But second of all, does it help to say the fact, just go around blowing the facts? I just put a caution out there to us because gossip and slander and evil communication about each other will destroy us quickly. And it would destroy brotherhood. It would destroy those around us. He says, let all that be put away from us. Don't entertain it. Let it stop with you. Let it stop with you. Get even mentality. Grudges. I'm going to mark that down against you. You did this and this and this. It's about time you quit. We have this. God has given us a memory. And you know, when someone continues to make a fault, we can't help it. We keep track of it. That's the way we're made. That's our evil nature coming out of us. And after a while, we're like, you know, we start pushing back. We think we have a right for our feelings. 1 John 4. Let's just turn there. 1 John 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this communication have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. When I love God, he's saying here, when I love God, I love my brothers. When I hate my brothers, I'm a liar. All right? The truth is not in us, he says earlier in John. The truth is far from us. Hatred. You know, when I keep track of my brother's faults, I get to the place where I hold a grudge against them. And after a while, I hate them. I despise them. I don't like them. And it just puts that rub there. And it just rubs and rubs and rubs until it becomes raw. And it hurts. I cannot keep track of my brother. I know a man, a bishop, in fact, that had a book. And he carried this book around. And in that book, he wrote the people and their faults. If there's something, brothers and sisters, that's further from the truth, it's that. And if there's something that will get you pretty close to the gates of hell, it's that. And yet, I have to ask myself, how close do I get to that sometimes? Where am I at in that? Do I just simply do it in my mind instead of a book? We need to be careful what we say, or we will destroy each other. It says, perfect love casteth out fear. And you know, when there's a lack of love in our hearts, there's a fear that comes along with that. We live in a world full of fearful people. When my love for God becomes lax, when I struggle with my devotional life, when I become distant from God, maybe you're not like, maybe you're always just close and everything's great in your relationship with God, and that's wonderful. But it's not all the time with me. That's a struggle. Okay? But when I am close to God, when I feel in tune with God and I am talking with Him, it's pretty easy to love people. But when I start getting away and I start getting further away and I kind of distance myself, it becomes pretty hard. And that's what Christ is trying to teach us, that we need to love. We need to love. It's a commandment. And I challenge us tonight that we would do that. Let's kneel in prayer.
Your Son Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the death of the cross. We thank you, Lord, for brotherhood. We thank you for your church. Lord, we know that you care about each soul. You love us, even in spite of ourselves. And as we accept your provisions for us, we can experience the peace and joy and love. Father, you know our struggles at times. We falter and fail. We struggle to love one another as we should. We struggle to keep our relationship current with you. We struggle to find our way. We live in a fallen world. Let us pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. That as your light goes out of my life and the life of the congregation here, that you would bless the work here, and that it would be bright, and that it would be appealing, and that the people, as people look upon our lives, as people look upon this church, your church, our lives in your church, that they would want what we have, that it would look appealing to them. God bless us, Father. Give us strength in our weaknesses, that we can find our way. It's just in your name.